This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers and sisters in Islam and welcome back to the seerah of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Last time when we talked about the persecution of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين including Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and what happened to them, and we learned so many lessons in order for us to be able to persevere and withstand whatever pain that we endure in this life. So we can be resurrected with them, inshallah, and path on that same path, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Today we are going to talk about the first hijrah for Abyssinia, Al-Habasha. And of course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse in Surah Az-Zumr, وَلِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, for those who practice benevolence for this life, and حسنة, the scholars actually says حسنة in this meaning, it is Jannah, inshaAllah. May Allah reward us Jannah. Ameen. Ajma'een. And he says, وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is massive, is great, in an indication that you can go away if you cannot establish the religion of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, those who practice patience and perseverance, they will be granted Jannah without any punishment or accountability. And we previously talked about the sabr, the patience. And we said sabr al maqdur, wa sabr al ma'mur, wa sabr an al mahzur. And quickly, inshallah, recapping where we left off last time, is to be patient upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed upon you. Divine decree. Whatever, good or bad. And also be patient in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon you. And meaning the obligations, you praying, your siyam, and your zakah, your hajj and umrah, and all that stuff, holding on to la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah bihaqqiha, with all its full rights and dues, with holding on your head up high and practicing your religion, inshallah, best way possible. And a sabr an al mahzur, and staying away from that for prohibitions, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that example for us to hold on to it, because we have to keep Jannah musba'inak. As if that horse, you have the carrot. You know, they step over everything and they go through whatever it takes in order for them to get to that. And that's what we should have, inshallah. For us, Jannah should be our ultimate goal. And being with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah be our ultimate goal. Pleasing Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula before we meet Him should be our ultimate goal. And that was the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. And we mentioned to you that what Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu arda says, anything, the calamities in this dunya, what happens to them? He says, I remember that it could have been worse. And it could have been, it's not in my deen, alhamdulillah, I'm still a Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards me for it in abundance. And I will get Jannah and so on. And I remember losing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing was worse than that. Now when it comes to the migration, it was in that, the fifth year of the Risala. And the first one that migrated was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu wada, and his wife Ruqayya radiallahu anha, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajma'in. Now, we talked about this in even Sahih, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these are the first people that migrated. The first house that migrated for the sake of Allah after Ibrahim and after Lot, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam. So you can imagine the honor of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and when he's migrating with the Muslims for the first migration for the sake of Allah. Because the persecution was a bit too severe. And they couldn't take it anymore. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he heard the verse from the Surah Az-Zumr, that they are permitted to go ahead, they give him the green light. So there were a few of them that migrated to Abyssinia, which is Al-Habasha. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given him the green light. He says that there is a malik, there is a king over there. لا يظلم عنده أحد. No one would be oppressed in his jawar, meaning his protection or his company. So they did, and they first wanted to go away in darkness. They took the darkness as the cover, and as they did, Quraysh, believe it or not, they still heard about it, and they were trying to stop them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them. And somehow, two ships, subhanallah, came close by, and they got on it, and they went on to Abyssinia. The amazing thing about it, when they went to Al-Habasha, when Quraysh wanted to do this, they still wanted to go after them. amazingly enough, including those who migrated in the first one, was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu warda. And when among the people that he knew who Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was, among the honorable society, what did he do? He says, "You Abu Bakr migrating? How come?" He says, "The persecution." He says, "But you are anta min as-sada. You are among the honorable society." He says, "Nevertheless." He says, "Anta fi jiwari. Come back." He wanted to migrate. So what did he do? He says, "Anta fi jiwari. Come, I'll protect you. It's impossible for us as Quraysh, not even honoring the people of the honorable society. It's amazing. So anta fi jiwari. You are in protection." And that's what they used to do in an honor system. The Arabs used to say, if you are in my jawar, you are in my protection, nobody will touch you. Because they respected that. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq came in, and what he did, he says, he is fi jawari. And we talked about the persecution. And when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq came in, he was protected. But now, he was starting to recite the Qur'an. And they went back up to the man that is protected, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he says, "You have to stop saying this. لا تسبوا آلهتنا. Do not blaspheme our idols, our gods, as so-called, for them, with a small g, of course." So then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq says, "Wallahi, if that's your jawar, if that's the way you are going to put a condition in order for me not to practice my religion, in order for me to be under your protection, رَضَتُ عَلَيْكَ جِوَارُكَ. I give you back your jawar. Your protection, you can have it. I'm in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. I don't want it. If I cannot practice my religion, I don't want your protection." So he did. رَدَّ عَلَيْهِ جُوَارِ. He said, "I'm free. You're free. You're not held accountable if anybody else does to me." So indeed, people got on to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and they start harming him. So that man walking by, he says, "See what I told you." He says, La wallahi, I will not go back in your jawar in order for me to be able to be safe and not practice my religion." In Fiqh al-Sirah, another book, other than Rahiq al-Makhtum, we learn a few things. The first thing you have to have, akhi and ukhti, is your deen has to be number one. If you cannot practice your religion, akhi and ukhti, you've got nothing. We've got nothing, wallahi. مَا بَعْدَ الْكُفْرِ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. There is nothing after kufr, disbelief. Nothing. So it doesn't matter how big of a house you have, how big of a car you have, how much you have in this Swiss bank account, or a private yacht, or a private jet, wallahi, it means nothing in the hereafter. So the first lesson we learn, that you are allowed to migrate to worship Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. And of course there are three levels of this, we will talk about a little bit later inshallah, when it comes to the fiqh issues, when do you stay, when do you go, and so on. But even then, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq set the record straight for us. If you cannot preach, practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do, leave akhi and ukhti. But we cannot go back to the people, let's say in it's not an Islamic country, so you have to leave it because it's not an Islamic country. That is it's a weaker opinion. But you can imagine now, millions of people will have to migrate. It's not true. But the scholars say, the first thing, you establish the pillars. If you can establish the pillars, and nusuk, and the rituals of Islam, you can stay. This is a Muslim country. If you cannot, then you have to go. At least, you have to go to establish the pillars. And we both know that some so-called Muslim countries, or what I would call them is mutamaslim, just so by so-called Muslim countries by name. I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but I'm pretty sure we both know what I'm talking about. That some of those called Muslim countries, a sister cannot wear the hijab. Allahu Akbar. A brother cannot have a beard. Subhanallah ya akhi. And if you pray in jama'ah in fajr, your name is on the list. I know there's a story, a man that was taken because he looked like this poor slave of Allah in one country. That's all his sin. He looked like this, and apparently somebody reported him. So they came in with the soldiers. Of course, yes sir. What are you doing, man? This is a Muslim brother just praying. I just got my command. And Abdul Ma'mur, they say that. Wallahi, you're not Abdul Ma'mur, ya akhi. And Abdul Ab, Abdullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not Ma'mur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give a command, ya akhi. You cannot say Abdul Ma'mur, taqillah, ya akhi. And again, we say, you are not. And then you say, you know, I'm just following order, man. So what are you going to say when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds you accountable, akhi, for harming your brother and sisters, for just establishing la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? Apparently it's a crime nowadays to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, as it was for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So don't feel so bad, akhi and ukhti. But hold on, inshaAllah. So now Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wardah has said that, and accordingly we hold on to it. And if you can practice your religion in the West, akhi, go back. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عاش على الكفاف. He lived on the kafaf.
whatever is apparent. So number one is your deen. Number one, it doesn't matter where you practice your religion, but the number one issue here, and the most important lesson in this halaqah, in this episode, is your religion. So make sure that whatever, it doesn't matter what you do, akhi and ukhti, religion, Islam has to be number one on your list. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ not فَفِرُّوا مِنَ اللَّهِ. As you will see what he says, I give you back your jawar, and I go back, and he says, wallahi, if I go back to it again, and recite the Qur'an freely, I will. So we have to heed to the message, and the first lesson learned from this halaqah is to hold on to religion, because without it, we have a zero in the bank account. Not in this lifetime, but in the hereafter. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Muslims migrated to Abyssinia, he was obviously intimidated in a way that some of his Muslims have gone, and now to show that he's on the contrary, he's not intimidated, he used to actually declare and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jahran, on the contrary of the other Muslims that they used to do it in secrecy. So one day, in the Haram, in the sacred masjid, in Ramadan, there was a big gathering, even Iliyat al-Qawm, the people of the hierarchy, the leaders of their tribes, the honorable society. So many people were in the Kaaba at that time. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ took advantage of that. He recited Surah Al-Najm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed those beautiful words that uttered by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by the way, they practiced walghaw fi hadha al-Quran. Do not listen. La tasma'u hadha al-Quran walghaw fi la'allakum taghlibun. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals what they had in a covenant. The covenant was, do not listen to this Quran, and take it as hearsay. Maybe you will be victorious. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Surah Al-Najm in front of everyone. Didn't care. Even then, it was the first time in a lot of people in Quraysh to hear Qur'an ever in their life. When Prophet Muhammad ﷺ recited that Qur'an, they were mesmerized. Now what happened in the end of Surah Al-Najm, there was a sajda. And I'm not going to say so, you don't have to prostrate. But when Prophet ﷺ finished that surah with the sajda, he prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula in front of everyone himself. He didn't care. And of course, everyone else followed him. Subhanallah. They followed him in a prostration. Except one man. That one man was a very old man. He could not prostrate. You know what he did? He grabbed a handful of dust and placed it on his own head. And he said, وَهَذِهِ سَجْدَتِي لِلَّهِ. And this is how I'm going to prostrate to Allah. Why is it, akhi? Think about it. First, that the power of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had effect even on mushriki Quraysh, those who used to worship the idols, those who didn't even know Islam, those did not even know that the beauty of the iman and the belief and aqeedah and so on. They still were affected by the words of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. So here's a question for you, akhi and ukhti. Does your Qur'an really touch your heart? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهَا Or the hearts are sealed? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ Will you not ponder and reflect? Or when do you really actually you give this goosebumps? تَقْشَعِرُ مِنْهُ This is what Allah says, this is these words, you should see goosebumps. And even, أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ Like you will see Najashi رضي الله عنه, that your eyes tear, do you feel any movement at all? Or do you only have these tears falling down when you hear this love song reminding you of sister, Susu, that you wanted to marry, but unfortunately her father, this villain, she couldn't give you her hand in marriage. This is the only time you cry, akhi. And when you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking, and you see, you hear the Quran about Surah Qaf, and talking about Jannah, talking about the hellfire, doesn't do anything for you? Nothing, eh? So listen, even Quraysh, mushriki Quraysh, they bow down, they prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ula, because they just heard Surah Al-Najm from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After this incident, they were blamed previously. I mean, a lot of people said, how could you do that? We've taken a covenant, you're not supposed to listen to the Qur'an, and so on. You know what they did? They took the excuses. He says, we were mesmerized, and we only did this because they added a few things to the Qur'an. This is because they are the one, that the glorified one. وَإِنَّ شَفَاعَتْهُمْ لَتُرْتَجَى وَإِنَّهُمْ Because he said, they said, well, the Prophet didn't say that. We stayed because Prophet Muhammad SAW did what? He said that these were good gods and their intercession is required or requested. Allahu Akbar. It's not true. But they were trying to save face. They were trying to make excuses. And that's what happened. But alhamdulillah, now that story got to Muslims in Abyssinia. And they thought Quraysh became a Muslim because they prostrated down to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. And on the way, they actually learned the sad truth that it was only because of the beautiful recitation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the effect of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Najm that had on them. And now some of them went back to Abyssinia and some of them came back to Mecca hiding in secrecy. And when the persecution actually increased, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had actually given them a green light to go back and migrate to Al-Habasha one more time. But as we mentioned, that the first one was 12 men and 4 women and so, and this time was actually a little more. It was 83 men and 9 or 10 women, different of narration. Going back to Abyssinia this time is a lot bigger, and they went, walhamdulillah, even though Quraysh tried to stop them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His grace and mercy saved them and they went back to Abyssinia. Now, Quraysh want to go back and get them. Amazingly enough, they do not want to let them live amongst them. You don't want them to practice Islam. And even when they leave them alone, they still want to get them back to persecute them. SubhanAllah. The animosity was strangely up to its highest level. Now they sent Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu arda, he was not a Muslim then. And Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, also radiallahu anhu arda, they were both not Muslim yet. So they went straight after them. They went to Abyssinia and they brought some gifts. So they took the gifts and they talked to the Batariqa, you know, the priests, the high priests that work under Najashi, radiallahu anhu. Obviously, he was not a Muslim then, still. And now they gave him all these gifts, and then they said, you know, what can we do to get them? He said, go back and talk to Najashi. Tell him that these people, they left their religion, and they separated between the tribe. They started a fitna. They started this test between them, and they left their gods, and they did not even follow your own deen, meaning Christianity. So they agreed with the Batariqa. They said, okay, we'll cook it together. So they had a meeting with Najashi after that. So Najashi heard their part. Amr ibn al-As, you understand, he's a dahiya, meaning he's a very smart man. So he wanted to present his case. He says, O king, these people left us, and they left our religion, and they cursed our gods. They didn't even practice your own religion. So, can we have him back to take him back to our tribes and family and deal with him accordingly? So, al-Najashi, he was known to be a fair king. So he said, bring him to me. So the Muslims came to him. And he says, what's your story? Who was talking on behalf of Muslims was Al-Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu arda, Al-Tayyar. He talked about Islam. He says, Ya ayyuhal malik, O king, we were people that used to worship the statues, Hajar, nothing but a rock. And we used to kill one another. We used to use usury. And we used to do all the transgression acts. We used to cut the next of kin. We used to oppress one another. We used to steal from one another. We used to do all these bad things. And we used to live in darkness of the worshipping other than God Almighty. And this man called Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, came and took us from the darkness to the light. From the slavery of the slaves of the people. And to the freedom and slave only for the Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. And to reach the next of kin. And forgive those who oppress us. Reach for those who cut us off. Give those who oppress us. And be good to the neighbor. And only worship one God. And we followed him. We believed in him. And these people persecuted for that. Until we actually were forced to be driven out of our own homes. So Najashi, when he heard this, he says, no, you will not go back. You are my protection. He actually mentions something, and it's in Abyssinian, meaning you are Amin. Amin here. You will be here in peaceful means. And he says, well, you will be in my jawar, you will be in my protection. So, in Abatariqa, you know, the priests, they start yanfurun. They go like this, they were not very happy. He says, wallahi, even if you steal that, if you blow, doesn't matter how hard, I'm still going to protect him. And now, Amr ibn al-As, you understand, he's a strong man. And he's also, mashallah, very intellectual. So he says, I'll come back tomorrow, and I will plot a plot that they will not be able to get out of it. So, Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, radiallahu anhu, even though he's not a Muslim yet, he says, don't get them harmed. There's still, some of them are actually, some of our families, these were neighbors, were family and friends still. He says, nope, I will come back tomorrow and I put them in trouble. So he came back again the following day. And he said to Al-Najashi, O king, these people when they left our religion, didn't even follow your religion, but they say something that is severe against Isa alayhi salam. So now he says, bring him back to me. Amazingly, even though the king was not a Muslim yet, he says he has to be fair. SubhanAllah, that's what he's known for. So we learn something here, Akhi Nukhti. When your child comes to you, complains about something, and they're crying, because they're obviously the younger child, usually cries, accusing the older child for hitting him or doing something. So what do you usually do, Akhi Nukhti? You bring your older child and smack him right away? It's because you're not interested in justice, you're interested in being quiet. We learned something. Even Prophet ﷺ used to bring people and discuss it. So when Najashi brought them forth, and he says, what do you say? So again, he talked about Surah Maryam. So he told him, Wallahi, here's what we're taught about it. And here's what Prophet ﷺ says. He is in the word of Allah. وَكَلِمَةٌ مِّنْ رُوحُ اللَّهِ. He's a spirit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is from the Al-Adra' al-Batul, Maryam. So Wallahi, he teared. He says, by Allah. He drew a line. He says, the difference between you and him is that small of a line. So the Batariqa started to do this. He says, Wallahi, it doesn't matter what you do, I will still protect him. And what did he say? He says, رُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ الْهَدَايَا. Give him back their gifts. SubhanAllah. And that is another lesson that we can learn from Al-Najashi radiallahu anhu wardah. And from there, inshallah, we'll continue next time. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.